Seekers, Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. How you doing? Thanks for tuning in tonight. We're going to focus quite a bit during the first segment of the program, the first hour of the program tonight, on the testimony by Eric Prince, the young German who gave testimony today before Congress regarding Blackwater, a private contracting firm that is outside all law, U.S. law, Iraq law. It doesn't make any difference what the law is. Eric Prince and his gang of killers stands fully outside the law. Also, the resolutions, opposing resolutions in the Congress now, one condemning the pig man for his comments about phony soldiers, the other one by a representative from here deep in the swamps of South Georgia, Jack Kingston, a Republican right-wing nutball, congratulating and praising, commending Rush Limbaugh for his ongoing public support of American troops. It's astonishing, isn't it? This is not an issue. That this Limbaugh, the pig man stuff, is not something that the U.S. Congress should be wasting its time on, pro or con. The people who listen to the pig man should be ashamed of themselves. The advertisers who support this Nazi bastard should pull out immediately, just like they did to Don Imus. Just pull out. Just go away. Let this piece of human waste sink of his own weight. But to have these dueling resolutions in the Congress, in the House, is just—it's insane. I mean, Limbaugh is yes, he influences a lot of brain dead people in this country, but he's not worth 30 seconds of congressional time. Well, on the other hand, maybe I'm way misspeaking here. Given the nature of our Congress, we have a criminal administration in control, and we can't get the Democrats to impeach the bastards and throw them out on their asses and then arrest them and send them to The Hague to be tried for war crimes. But we can introduce resolutions condemning a cheesy-ass, draft-dodging, drug-addicted talk show host who makes $25 million a year, filling the airwaves with lies. It's astonishing. We'll get to that a little bit into the program here. Here's another one. This is a judge in Alabama, a judge who was once considered a prominent federal appointment, has resigned amid investigations of possible judicial and sexual improprieties. He is a... His name is Herman Thomas, and the resignation of the circuit court judge ends what was once viewed as one of Alabama's most promising legal careers. Mobile Alabama County District Attorney John Tyson said after Judge Thomas's resignation yesterday, quote, "We do have a criminal investigation going on," end quote. So they're going to continue to pursue this guy. His resignation, though, probably means there will be no trial before the Alabama Court of the Judiciary, because the harshest punishment that organization can hand down is removal from office. And the last time that happened was in 2003 when Alabama's so-called Ten Commandments judge, remember him, Chief Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore, got kicked out of office. Judge Thomas said in a resignation statement, quote, "While I do not believe that I ever intentionally violated any canon of judicial ethics, I recognize that the controversy surrounding me has been disruptive and unproductive for the life of this community. After the ethics charges were filed against Judge Thomas, allegations arose that he had removed male inmates from Mobile jail and taken them to a private room in the courthouse where he spanked them. Yeah, he spanked them. Also, there's a six-year-old lawsuit pending in which an inmate accused this judge of offering to provide help with inmates' cases in return for sexual favors. His defense attorney, Dave Boyd, said Judge Thomas categorically denies all of that. Now, the president of the local NAACP chapter accuses investigators of forcing inmates to make these allegations against Judge Thomas, who happens to be a black Democrat. But the preponderance of the evidence suggests that this freak, I don't know, how do you do that? How do you go into the Mobile, Alabama jail and say, you, back there in the back, come up here. Yes, sir, what? Judge wants to see you in his chambers. Oh, for what, are we getting out? No, you're not getting out. He is going to spank you. Say what? He's going to spank you. Are you out of your goddamn mind? What do you mean he's going to spank me? What are you talking about? That's right. You are going to take your pants down and lay across Judge Herman Thomas's lap while he takes a ruler and spanks your bottom. Say what? It just never stops, does it? It just never stops. Thomas is the judge. The judge is 46. He grew up in Mobile. He went to law school at Florida State. He went home to become an assistant district attorney. He became a district judge in 1990. And when he became a judge, a district judge, he made this pledge, quote, I will be a judge. The judges of the 13th Judicial Circuit, my family and friends and all citizens will be proud of. And 2 years before that, in 1999, he became a circuit judge. In 1997, some of Alabama's top Democrats recommended that President Clinton appoint Thomas as the first black federal judge in South Alabama. However, Clinton never made a formal nomination of the guy because the background check on Thomas dragged on for months. What's holding up the nomination? Well, we keep getting these reports that he pulls people out of jail and spanks them. What? Oh, my God. Now, I know there's somebody out there right now listening to this saying, well, what's wrong with spanking them, Malloy? It beats the hell out of, executing them or putting them in. No, you missed the point if that's what you're. Bring the inmate in here. Yes, Your Honor. Take your pants off. Why? God, it just doesn't stop, does it? Good news, we have, we being the United States, we have consolidated our position as the world's leading arms dealer to the developing world. We beat Russia almost 2-1 and Britain almost 5-1. That's according to a new congressional report published in D.C. yesterday. The report was produced by the Nonpartisan Congressional Research Service, and it found that the arms trade last year was around $40 billion. 80% of that went to developing countries. Now, just think about that for a second. Most developing countries are still struggling with sewer problems and disease and not enough electricity or phone service, or sewage elimination, or, but by God, they will buy their weapons, and we will sell them to them. We accounted for 42% of the global market. 42% of it is ours, and damn the person who tries to take it away from us. That's nearly $17 billion in sales. That's up $3.5 billion from the previous year. All right, trend up. The boom, it says, in U.S. sales appears to have been partly fueled by the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, which have made neighboring countries nervous. And therefore, Pakistan, India, and Saudi Arabia were the biggest buyers. Is Saudi Arabia a developing country? Oh, well. Now, to his everlasting credit, the new Prime Minister of the UK, Gordon Brown, back in June, before he became Prime Minister, announced that when he did become Prime Minister, he would shut down the Defense Export Sales Organization. And that's a group that helps promote British weapons systems abroad. The UK is also pushing for a treaty regulating the global arms trade that would limit sales to conflict regions and despotic regimes. In other words, if you were the head of the military head of Myanmar pick a country. According to Gordon Brown, you should not be allowed to buy weaponry. Or if you are in a conflict region, which would be like, let me think real hard, Iraq, you wouldn't be able to buy weapons. The treaty proposed by Gordon Brown is opposed by the National Rifle Association, which argues that the treaty threatens the right to gun ownership.
Listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
So, 22 past the hour, a treaty proposed by the new British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, to regulate the global arms trade that would limit sales to only regions where there's not a conflict going on, or disallow these massive sales to despotic or totalitarian or right-wing or military regimes, which, you know, kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Huh? But the pissants at the National Rifle Association, the U.S. gun lobby, says, nah, we oppose it because that treaty threatens the right to gun ownership. These people don't stop ever, do they? Huh? I don't know. I get evil thoughts. I really do. I may have to get back into therapy because I get evil thoughts about some of these people. And I'm not going to mention any names or organizations, or certainly not, you know, set myself up for something. You know, somebody coming to my house and pumping poison gas in the window at night. Oh, wait a minute. That sounds real schizophrenic, doesn't it? But I get very, very, very upset and angry at certain people whose names make it into the news. And I get nervous. I start thinking, well, you know, Malloy, you're always just a trigger waiting for someone to pull it anyway. What happens if you go bonkers and do these things you've been thinking about? I think, well, all right, let me up my dose of Aleve and try to forget about it. But it's isn't it outrageous? Are you tired of hearing me say the word outrageous? As far as Blackwater itself is concerned, man, the guy who runs Blackwater, this Eric Prince, he's Blackwater's founder. And I'm going to share with you tonight a list of some of the people who contribute to Blackwater's profits. I mean, who take some of Blackwater's profits, who contribute their expertise. And you'll be surprised to find that almost all of them are Republican, and almost all of them are connected to the Bush crime family. But Eric Prince, has donated roughly $500,000 to Republican candidates in political Republican political actions committees. He also has a foundation through which he gave $500,000 to Prison Fellowship Ministries. That is run by former Nixon official Charles Colson, who served time in prison and found Jesus in there. I don't know. Somewhere he found Charles Colson, who's just a slobbering freak. This guy is just so vile. A convicted felon who committed treason against the U.S. in working for Nixon because he was in total violation of his oath, his constitutional oath, or whatever the hell he took. He's just a worm, just a rat, Charles Colson. But somehow, I guess Jesus likes him because this this thug continues to live and do his prison ministries. Now, all the prison ministries want is to offset the Muslim ministries inside America's prisons, where we have decided to warehouse hundreds of thousands of black males for things that white males, or white females for that matter, do not go to prison for. So anyway, I digress here. Founder of Blackwater, Eric Prince, has a foundation called the Freiheit Foundation, or Freiheit, which is German, of course, for liberty or freedom. Freiheit! Jawohl! Das ist ein Freiheit! You find that word, of course, in the German equivalent of the German national anthem that's been used by the Germans since 1922, was incorporated and co-opted by the Nazis. Most of us in the U.S. think of the German national anthem as being Deutschland über alles, which is merely a line in that German national anthem. But the word Freiheit appears frequently in, maybe not frequently, but it's in the German national anthem. The Freiheit Foundation that Eric Prince, and Eric spells his name E-R-I-K, of course, the Freiheit Foundation. Jawohl! We will do what we want! We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. It is about 25 before the hour. Let's listen to Eric Prince for a while. He is the chairman of the Prince Group, LLC, and Blackwater USA. He was a witness today before the House Oversight Committee. It was the hearing on Blackwater, chaired by Henry Waxman. And before we get into it, just this, the committee is interested in, among other things, the State Department's initial report of last month's incident in which Blackwater guards opened fire on Iraqi civilians and killed anywhere from 13 to 20, depending on who you want to believe. And, of course, we know that Americans always tell the truth, and the brown people or the people who talk funny that we are out in the world killing always lie. So according to the liars, the killing was with no provocation whatsoever on the part of Iraqis, and these were Iraqi civilians who just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, which means they were caught in the gun sights of the killers at Blackwater. Now, you can say what you want, but as far as mercenary forces, I consider these people to be the worst of the worst. I don't give a damn what kind of service they had in the military before they joined this army of mercenary thugs and killers. These are people who operate outside the law. And if the law is applicable to me and to you and to anyone who lives in a civilized society, then these sons of bitches ought to be disarmed immediately, and those that have been involved in these extrajudicial killings should be put on trial and put in the slammer. If this happened in the United States, these thug asses would be in jail for the rest of their lives. I don't get this. I mean, I understand the Bush crime family and the Republican Party's insistence on turning everything over to corporate America, everything that they possibly can. But this is beyond belief. This is something out of science fiction movies. This is something out of Mad Max. This is something that makes me want to vomit to think that I'm a citizen of a country that will turn these kinds of animals loose, fully armed with the most high-tech weapons, and allow them to kill anyone they want under any circumstances for any reason. These are not people that are constrained by the Universal Code of Military Justice. These are not people constrained by the laws of the United States or whatever country they go into to commit murder. These are death squads. That's all they are. And the miserable son of a bitch at the hearing today, the Republican who just, oh, I thought he's going to wet his pants. His hands were out like he was supplicating Eric Prince, saying, "I want to thank you for doing such a wonderful job of protecting our State Department employee." You know, every place else in the world, U.S. embassies are protected by United States Marines. But for some reason, these animals, these killers, these death squad thugs have free rein to murder anyone, up to and including the bodyguard surrounding the president or the prime minister, such as he is, of Iraq. This is the part that to me shames me as an American citizen. There's so much going on politically in this country right now that just makes me hang my head in shame. I don't want to meet people outside this country and have to say, "Yeah, I'm an American." Because even though I am part of millions of Americans who see this as the crimes that they are, I still represent the country. And Bush and his murderous asses represent everything about the United States. And there's no way to go someplace and say, "I'm an American," and have your head keep your head up. You can't do it. Not any longer. It's just vile. It's just so vile. But that initial report of last month's mass murder, where the Blackwater guards opened fire, was not written by the State Department. It was written by a Blackwater contractor working in the embassy security detail. So that's how far it's gone. This is like, you know, if I decide I'm going to go murder some right-wing talk show host, and I do it, and the authorities come to me and say, "All right, Mr. Malloy, we want a complete investigation of what happened," and turn the investigation over to me. And I wrote the report. And at the end of my writing the report, they say, "Okay, well, there's nothing there. We have a dead body, but obviously you didn't do it." That's how bad this has gotten. Chairman Henry Waxman lays out the case against Blackwater and Bush's State Department, which is complicit in this mass murder, and in enabling Blackwater to continue to murder innocent Iraqis.
"The committee's investigation raises as many questions about the State Department's oversight of Blackwater as it does about Blackwater itself. On December 24, 2006, a drunken Blackwater contractor shot the guard of the Iraqi vice president. This didn't happen out on a mission protecting diplomats. It occurred inside the protected green zone. If this had happened in the United States, the contractor would have been arrested and a criminal investigation launched. If a drunken U.S. soldier had killed an Iraqi guard, the soldier would have faced a court-martial. But all that has happened to the Blackwater contractor is that he has lost his job. The State Department advised Blackwater how much to pay the family to make the problem go away, and then allowed the contractor to leave Iraq just 36 hours after the shooting. Incredibly, internal emails document a debate over the size of the payment. The charge d'affaires recommended $250,000 payment. But this was cut to $15,000 because the Diplomatic Security Service said Iraqis would try to get themselves killed for such a large payout. Well, it's hard to read these emails and not come to the conclusion that the State Department is acting as Blackwater's enabler.
Astonishing. Yeah, Iraqis are going to try to get themselves killed so that their next of kin can get the money. Maybe it's not so astonishing, given what we have done to that poor, sad country. $15,000. $15,000. Jesus, God. Waxman continues, describing how U.S. military officials say that Blackwater's murderous actions are creating resentment. Resentment of Iraqis against the United States. That is as bad as Abu Ghraib. You remember Abu Ghraib, don't you, Truth Seeker?
New documents indicate that there have been a total of 195 shooting incidents involving Blackwater forces since 2005. Blackwater's contract says the company is hired to provide defensive services. But in most of these incidents, it was Blackwater forces who fired first. We have also learned that 122 Blackwater employees, one-seventh of the company's current workforce in Iraq, have been terminated for improper conduct. In recent days, military leaders have said that Blackwater's missteps in Iraq are going to hurt us badly. One senior U.S. military official said Blackwater's actions are creating resentment among Iraqis that, quote, may be worse than Abu Ghraib, end quote. If these observations are true, they mean that our reliance on a private military contractor is backfiring.
Well, Mr. Waxman, you see, they're not private military contractors. They are death squads. These are death squads. This is somehow, somewhere, Oliver North's Christian hand is involved in this, because Oliver North was so instrumental in assisting in the setting up of death squads in Central America in the 80s. There have been death squads in Central America for a century. But Oliver North, the traitorous, filthy disgrace to the United States Marine Corps, was instrumental in setting up death squads, as was John Negroponte. This is a direct outgrowth of the School of the Americas down here in Columbus, Georgia. This is what happens, you see, when the disrespect for human life, I'm not talking about sperm and fertilized eggs, I'm talking about human life, just permeates this religious fascism that now controls the United States. There's no respect here, none whatsoever. The people being murdered in Iraq, as far as Blackwater is concerned, they're pagans anyway. They're not Christians, so what difference does it make? These are Muslims, so let them burn in their Muslim hell. This is what's happened to our country. We have death squads operating in Iraq. Death squads. What if Blackwater? What if things were reversed and there was some sort of occupational force in this country that extrajudiciously murdered Americans? I mean, how long would it be before some of us organized counter-death squads and hunted these pigs down one at a time and cut their heads off? How long would it be before we decapitated them individually while they screamed and the blood gushed all over the pavement, and then their heads would be placed on pikes and stabbed into the ground somewhere? I know I would participate in that, wouldn't you? Because I would become insane. With a force moving into my country that was not in uniform, I thought the Bush crime family said that people who invade another country who are not in uniform were by definition enemy combatants and therefore fair game. This is how far this has pushed me.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
10 before the hour, House Oversight Committee, headed by Henry Waxman. Heard testimony today from young Mr. Eric Prince, a religious, a Christian religious nutcase, part of the American Taliban, wealthy ex-SEAL, organizer of death squads, who sits there, or sat there today, very much made me, reminded me of Oliver North. With Oliver North's attitude, Eric Prince's attitude towards this committee was, go screw yourself. Just all of you. You know, I'll sit here and play your goddamn game, but in the final analysis, when the door shuts and the lights go off tonight, you all can go screw yourselves. I do what I do because I am who I am and know who I know. And I am a Christian, and you people, go screw yourselves. I will continue to kill. I will continue to farm out my death squads. And if you don't like it, bite me. Very much Oliver North. Very much Oliver North. There it was. There it was. Back to the committee hearing today, Waxman then describes how much money the U.S. taxpayer is funneling into Blackwater via no-bid contracts.
There may be no federal contractor in America that has grown more rapidly than Blackwater over the last 7 years. In 2000, Blackwater had just $204,000 in government contracts. Since then, it has received over $1 billion in federal contracts. More than half of these contracts were awarded without full and open competition. Privatizing is working exceptionally well for Blackwater. The question for this hearing is whether outsourcing to Blackwater is a good deal for the American taxpayer. We know that sergeants in the military generally cost the government between $50,000 to $70,000 per year. We also know that a comparable position at Blackwater costs the federal government over $400,000, six times as much.
Well, six times as much. Of course, the $50,000 to $70,000 that Waxman's referring to is not what an Army sergeant is paid. That's what it costs when you consider his training. And his pay, when everything is taken into account, except when he comes home. Then the U.S. government and the United States military and the Veterans Administration more or less tells him to fend for himself. Waxman then began questioning Eric Prince, Blackwater's CEO. Waxman describes how U.S. troops considered Blackwater's actions to be reckless. The troops consider that. And accuse these death squad members of playing Star Wars and acting like cowboys and generally having a shoot-'em-up fun time killing innocent Iraqis. Waxman details one particular plane crash that was a result of Blackwater's activities. Prince, of course, clutching his Bible to his scrotum, denies these allegations.
Let me ask you about that crash of Blackwater Flight 61. The crash was investigated, by a joint Army and Air Force task force and by the National Transportation Safety Board. The NTSB report found that Blackwater captain and first officer behaved unprofessionally, were deliberately flying the non-standard route low through the valley for fun. The report found that the pilots were unfamiliar with the route, deviated almost immediately after takeoff, and failed to maintain adequate terrain clearance. They also had a transcript of the cockpit voice recording. And on this recording, the flight crew joked with each other, saying, "You're an X-Wing fighter Star Wars man, and you're expletive right. This is fun." The captain stated, "I swear to God, they wouldn't pay me if they knew how much fun this was," end quote. In this case, did Blackwater's pilots act responsibly, or were they, in the words of the U.S. commander, acting like cowboys?
I disagree with the assertion that they acted like cowboys.
They were Christians.
We provided very reliable, valuable service to the Air Force and the Army in Afghanistan. Anytime you have an accident, it's an accident. Something could have been done better.
Oh. Okay. Now, we have one more here. Representative Paul Hodes, a Democrat of New Hampshire. We're going to have to wait till after the break to, I think, right? You want to wait? Okay. To bring you this one. But if you saw any of this today, the attitude of Eric, E-R-I-K, Prince, is beyond defiant. It's the attitude of someone who is testifying before a committee that he knows has absolutely and utterly no power to do anything to him, to stop him, to fine him, to jail him, to do anything to him. Eric Prince, because he's a Christian fanatic and a Republican and a right-winger and an ex-SEAL who has gone way, way round the bend, kind of a Colonel Kurtz type, he knows that nobody can touch him. Nobody can touch him. And in fact, when this administration finally ends, which it will, and the Democratic nominee becomes president, even then, no one will be able to touch him. No one. This is what has happened to our republic. This is what almost 7 years of concentrated effort by an organized crime family has done to this republic. Now, they didn't operate strictly on their own, the Bush crime family. They had years and years and years of these filthy Republicans, whether they were in the majority or the minority, whether they were in the White House or out of the White House, setting this up, getting the United States ready for a complete takeover by right-wing Christian nutcases. Can we pull back from the brink? That's a good question. I guess we'll have to wait and see, right? Stay with us. More of this insanity when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. We are finishing up some sound from today's hearings in front of Henry Waxman's House Committee on Government Oversight, Government Oversight Committee, I guess is the way they refer to it, on Blackwater. The Private Death Squad organization that is, I believe its base is in North Carolina, or is it Michigan? I don't know. They have ties to both states. But it is run by Christian fundamentalists who would make Osama bin Laden look like a piker in terms of fundamentalist religious nonsense. And it is well connected inside and outside the inner sanctums and outer sanctums of the Bush crime family. These people operate outside the law, all law. The only thing that the only law they respect is biblical law, and that is the law in the Old Testament that says kill everybody and don't worry about it because you are a righteous warrior for God, Yahweh, or Allah, or whoever, whatever nutball is sitting up there on a throne in heaven deciding that Eric Prince is a good guy or something. I don't know. Here's the last one. Representative Paul Hodes, a Democrat of New Hampshire, asks Eric Prince about the Blackwater employee whose only punishment for getting drunk and murdering the Iraqi vice president's security guard, the only action taken against him was firing him and making him pay his own way back to the United States. Now, stop and think what would happen to you or to me if we were to get drunk and murder somebody.
Earlier today, you were asked what action Blackwater took to penalize an employee who, while drunk, shot and killed an Iraqi security guard for the Iraqi vice president on Christmas Eve of 2006. You recall those questions?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Prince, you also said that Blackwater is extremely scrupulous in enforcing your standards, and you've told us that you did basically all you could to this employee and that the rest was up to the Department of Justice. What you did was you took away his bonuses, 4th of July, completion bonus, Christmas bonus. He paid his own way home, and he couldn't work for you. Is that your idea, Mr. Prince, of corporate accountability?
This employee, I can't make any apologies for what he did. He clearly violated the rules that he knew that, we give each of our guys an independent contractor handbook. It's all the do's and the don'ts of what they're expected to do and not do. Beyond firing him for breaking the rules, withholding any funds we can't flog him, we can't incarcerate him, we can't do anything beyond that. That is sole reservation of the U.S. Justice Department.
The Justice Department has not acted against this individual?
I believe their investigation is ongoing.
They haven't done anything so far, right?
We're not privy to that information, sir.
This was a potential murder, was it not?
It was a guy that put himself in a bad situation.
Oh, my God. Employee handbook? Employee handbook? Where was it? Page 36? It is frowned upon by Blackwater USA for our employees to get drunk and kill someone. Now, if you do, you'll forfeit your Christmas bonus. And you'll have to pay your way home from wherever we have you. Arrogant son of a bitch, this guy. Eric Prince, trained in his murderous ways by you and me. We paid for this thug's training, didn't we? It's just astonishing. This is nothing more than Murder Incorporated. That's all it is. Why are United States Marines good enough to protect embassies of the United States all around the planet? I don't know. Maybe that doesn't exist anymore. But in Iraq, where the feeding frenzy has been going on now longer than our involvement in World War II, for God's sake. The corporate feeding frenzy. Billions of dollars stolen by people like this Christian freak fundamentalist Eric Prince and Blackwater. Or by the self-proclaimed Christian and thug Dick Cheney and Kellogg Brown and Root, on and on and on. Why are all of these people warriors in the army of Jesus, self-proclaimed? How come we don't hear of any major Muslims or Jews? It's all these Christian thieves and liars and thugs and punks who went into Iraq and stole everything that wasn't nailed down, plane loads of cash coming from the U.S. Treasury, coming from U.S. taxpayers, money that could have been spent for health care, money that could have been spent for infrastructure, schools, all into the pockets of these mercenary death squad bastards like Blackwater, Kellogg Brown and Root, Halliburton, Carlyle Group, on and on and on and on. Read the article in Rolling Stone, I think the August 27th issue, if you want to know what has happened. And they hide behind the cross, and they hide behind the flag, and they hide behind patriotism, and they are nothing but liars and killers and thieves. And this Eric Prince. an Oliver North clone sitting there with his self-righteous statements to his betters. And they are his betters because they still attempt to subscribe to constitutional law. Eric Prince and his filthy ilk, like George Bush, like Dick Cheney, operate way beyond the Constitution. But Nancy Pelosi will tell you, as many times as you want to hear it, that impeachment is off the table. Employee handbook. He actually said that. Crazy bastard. This is not somebody working for Verizon. This is not somebody working for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. This is a death squad! And they give them employee handbooks? What does it say? Don't get caught. So here we are. Unbelievable. James Risser writing in his diary at Daily Kos. After listening, James writes, to the hearings this afternoon, the one phrase that bothered me most is when Chairman Waxman referred to the State Department as enabling, quote, quote, enabling Blackwater's behavior. Instead, the chairman should have called it as it really is. The U.S. State Department is not merely enabling Blackwater's illegality. It is an active co-conspirator in Blackwater's illegal activities. Risser writes, the number of dead found at the other end of the thousands of Blackwater mercenary forces may never be known. But we do know of one for certain. In December 2006, one of the drunken murderers at Blackwater shot someone to death. The State Department and Blackwater conspired to remove the murderer from Iraqi jurisdiction. The State Department and Blackwater negotiated among themselves the proper payment to be made to the victim's family in order to, quote, make it all go away. This diary, Risser writes, only focuses on the single murder and leaves unasked similar questions about the September 16, 2007, just a couple of weeks ago, massacre, and the hundreds of other incidents where shots were fired into crowds, where Blackwater forces working with the CIA and special forces of the Defense Department in targeted assassinations, or whether Blackwater assisted in the use of chemical weapons in Fallujah. Those are mere conjectures, and absent the arrest and interrogation of John Negroponte, Donald Rumsfeld, and other senior members of the Bush crime family, past and present, will not be proven or disproven. In other words, Risser writes, absent a new Nuremberg trial for the Bush crime family, the full details will remain unknown. The first Nuremberg trial introduced the concept of co-conspirator to international law. And a new trial will be able to apply those same laws and concepts to the modern war criminals. And as Risser points out in his diary, prior to the Nuremberg trials presented an unbelievable, monumental legal task in front of the Allies. Roosevelt and Churchill wanted to use summary executions. Just the German high command, the German industrialists, take them out, put them up against the wall, and execute them. But there were people in this country that said, no, we can't do that. So in order to handle the trials and the enormous amount of work in front of the Allies in order to seek justice, the term co-conspirator was introduced to international law. Prior to that, it was an American concept. And I want to tell you a little bit more what Risser wrote here. We'll do it when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M.
Your host for a Pence-Friends future, it's Mike Malloy.
22 past the hour. James Risser's diary at Daily Kos, written today regarding the hearings in front of Waxman's committee. Risser is suggesting, and I think he's absolutely right, that Chairman Waxman should stop referring to the State Department as the enabler of Blackwater's illegal acts of murder, but rather refer to the State Department as the co-conspirator in this. And Risser is citing one particular example in his diary, and that is the incident where the guy got drunk and murdered one of the security detail Christmas Eve for one of the Iraqi government officials. And as Risser points out, let me just go to what Risser is saying. He cites from Nuremberg transcripts and the books about Nuremberg, how the Nuremberg trials that we conducted, we and the other allies after World War II, to try these Nazi bastards, the idea of co-conspiracy was set up and introduced into international law in order to attempt to bring some of the Nazis, Nazi high command and the and German industrialists who facilitated the deaths of 60 million people on the planet, 6 million in the ovens and gas chambers of the death camps. There had to be something more than individual trials. That's how the concept of co-conspirators. So as Risser writes, the elements of a criminal conspiracy require an agreement between parties to achieve an unlawful objective. There is an intent requirement for the parties who enter into and agree to commit the elements of the underlying crime. There is a knowledge requirement by the defendants of the existence of the conspiracy. And finally, there needs to be the commission of an overact in furtherance of the conspiracy. And Risser concludes, in this case, Blackwater and the State Department agreed to remove the drunken murderer from Iraqi jurisdiction and to pay off the victim's family in order for it to, quote, all go away, end quote. The email conversation between the State Department and Blackwater fulfills the knowledge requirement of a conspiracy. The payment to the victim's family fulfills the final element, an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. The underlying crime need not be proven in order for conspiracy liability to hold. And then Risser adds, no, this conspiracy is in addition to the Bush crime family's other criminal conspiracies. It has been argued that the Bush crime family has already violated one aspect of federal law dealing with conspiracy in his lies leading to the illegal invasion and occupation of Iraq. To wit, the president's deceit is not only an abuse of power, it is a federal crime. Specifically, it is a violation of Title 18, United States Code, Section 371, which prohibits conspiracies to defraud the United States. And then Risser closes with, if anyone from Chairman Waxman's office is visiting the Daily Kos site today, I urge you to urge the chairman to adjust his language. Yeah, I agree with what Risser wrote here. I hate to see... You know, I expect the Republican pigs on any committee to bend over backwards like this freak today, this Republican who practically leapt out of his chair. I thought he was trying to get to Eric Prince to lick his boots or stroke his head and say, I love you, my son, for what you are doing in protecting our precious State Department employees. It was just astonishing to watch. But aside from the Republicans, you expect that. The Democrats, they are so cautious in their language, for the most part. They're so cautious. Maybe it's because it's Eric Prince. Maybe they're afraid of being murdered by this son of a bitch. You know, detail a domestic hit squad, a murder squad, to go get Congressman such and such or Congressman so and so. I don't know what it is. I don't. But to listen to the softball questions, some of them, I'm not saying all the Democrats and all the questions were softball, but I just would, just once, I would like to see somebody on one of these committees sit there and say, you know what, you're a lying son of a bitch. Do you know that? I don't care what the testimony is. It could be the tobacco people or the oil company people or Eric Prince. You're a lying son of a bitch, and everything you're saying is a lie, and you turn my stomach. Get out of my sight. Thug.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. No, I don't say that at the bottom of the hour. I'm reading this thing here from Al Martin's website, written by Jason Ryan and Nick Giuliano. I want to share with you. It's about more about Blackwater. The way they describe it as a private security firm, which has faced mounting criticism following an incident earlier this month in which armed guards from the group killed at least 11 unarmed Iraqi civilians. Blackwater has numerous links to the White House as well as many current former Republicans. The connections include the firm's COO, Joseph Schmitz. Who was tapped by President Bush in 2002 to, quote, oversee and police the Pentagon's military contracts as the Defense Department's Inspector General, end quote. Oh, my God. Now, this was first reported by Ben Van Heuvelen in Salon.com. Serving until 2005, Schmitz went on to preside over, quote, the largest increase of military contracting spending in history, end quote. And he joined Blackwater a month after his departure from the Pentagon. According to a 2005 article in the LA Times, quote, the resignation comes after Senator Charles Grassley, Republican of Iowa, sent Schmitz several letters this summer informing him that he was the focus of a congressional inquiry into whether he had blocked two criminal investigations last year, end quote. Then chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, Grassley, quote, accused Schmitz of fabricating an official Pentagon news release, planning an expensive junket to Germany, and hiding information from Congress. Schmitz is the senior Pentagon official charged with investigating waste, fraud, and abuse. End quote. Son of a bitch. Do you see what's going on here? I think we all are beginning to understand just how corrupt. You know, it's real funny. 5 years ago when I started referring to the Bush crime family, you know, I had a lot of people say, well, Malloy, that's pretty over the top, isn't it? What are you talking about? George and his brothers? The SNL scandal? What? You're starting to get it now, huh? Blackwater CEO Eric Prince testified today before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee in a hearing centered on the use of private contractors in Iraq, but the appearance was at first contested by the State Department. See, they didn't want him to go. Who, Van Heuvelen, writing in Salon, said, quote, directed Blackwater not to give any information or testimony without its sign-off, end quote. Condoleezza Rice later agreed that Prince could testify. The story continues, quote, the ties between state and Blackwater are only part of a web of relationships that Blackwater has maintained with the Bush administration and with prominent Republicans. Salon says, from 2001 to 2007, this firm has increased its annual federal contracts from less than $1 million to more than $1 billion. While all while employees passed through a turnstile between Blackwater and the Bush administration, several leaving important posts in the Pentagon and the CIA to take jobs at Blackwater. The Salon writer, Ben Van Heuvelen, goes on to detail additional links between the firm's luminaries and the Bush administration and Republican Party. And he includes, all right, first of all, Eric Prince, Blackwater's founder, who set up the Freiheit Foundation, has given $500,000 to Republican candidates, political action committees. J. Kofor Black, who is the Blackwater vice chairman, 28-year veteran of the CIA that Van Heuvelen describes as, quote, one of the more prominent faces associated with the Bush administration's interrogation and extraordinary rendition policies. In other words, remember, J. Coffer Black is a torture boy. He was one that worked with Gonzalez to set up the rules for torturing people and killing them when they were being held in our military prisons. Coffer Black is also a senior advisor to Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney. Then there's Bob Richer, vice president for intelligence of Blackwater, who's a former head of the CIA Near East Division. In 2003, according to Salon, he briefed President Bush on the nascent Iraqi insurgency. In late 2004, he became the associate deputy director and the CIA's directorate of operations, making him the second-ranking official for clandestine operations. Now, the CIA's director of operations, if you don't know, that's where, what's his name, who was assistant secretary of state under Colin Powell, the white guy who did the wet work in Vietnam. He's a real killer. I forget his name right now, but it'll come to me. The Directorate of Operations, that's where the really evil stuff is done in the CIA. I mean, the stuff that they, if you are caught, the director will disavow any knowledge of you, that sort of thing. Then there's Fred Fielding, who is as old as dirt, former outside counsel for Blackwater, who's had a long career as a lawyer to prominent Republicans. He was the associate White House counsel in the Nixon administration. He's a former counsel to Reagan, current White House counsel to Bush. Then, of course, there's Ken Starr, another lawyer who works for Blackwater, who was hired by the firm in 2006. You know Ken Starr. And then the article here says, private guns for hire from Blackwater USA fired their weapons nearly 200 times while working in Iraq. And in four or five incidents, the security contractors fired the first shots in four out of five. 80%, according to a new Democratic-sponsored congressional report. Blackwater is facing increased scrutiny since that massacre in which between 11 and 20 Iraqi citizens were mowed down. It goes on here and on. The Democratic staffers wrote in their report to Waxman's committee before the hearing today, quote, there is no evidence in the documents. That was documents where the State Department was supposed to take punitive action against Blackwater. There's no evidence in the documents that the committee has reviewed that the State Department sought to restrain Blackwater's actions or raise concerns about the number of shooting incidents involving Blackwater or the company's high rate of shooting first or detain Blackwater contractors for investigation. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Now, if that's not bad enough, last Friday, the Pentagon announced that a Blackwater subsidiary, Presidential Airways Incorporated, would receive a nearly $100 million contract for air transportation services in Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Pakistan, and Uzbekistan. It just goes on and on. On and on and on. It's astonishing. This is what has happened to our country. This is what we're doing now. It's cheesy. It's disgusting. It's dirty. It's not out in the open like the Nazi death head SS. Yeah, they were out in the open. Oh, well, I'm not defending them. But at least Hitler just came right out and said, I'm going to kill all the Jews. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We are establishing the 1,000-year Reich. What did it last? 5 years? 8 years? 11 years? I don't know. From 1933 to 1945, what is that? 12 years? And the Bush crime family, and Cheney, and Eric Prince, and Negroponte, and the rest of these people, they're like cockroaches. They stay in the dark. They do their dirty acts. They destroy the Constitution. They undermine everything that we're about in this country, everything we've tried to be about. They just undermine it, destroy it. And then I get an email like this. This is from Bridget, who writes, "Hi, Mike. About your wondering if you're going to snap or if you're sounding schizophrenic, you're not alone, and the remedy isn't Haldol or SSRIs. I think the most damaging of all the outrages this neo-Nazi, warmongering, criminal bunch of excrement has inflicted on this country, and for that matter the world, is the rage and hate and distrust and fear constantly at work in our psyches. There's no getting away from it. No matter how uninvolved or apolitical or tuned out you might be, it's in the air, it's in the water, it's on the wind. There's a coarsening of our interactions with each other, of what we expect from each other, of what we're willing to tolerate. The bar keeps being raised for the level of violence we consider acceptable on TV or in the movies or in video games and from our so-called peace officers, and it's eating away at our psyches. We, the citizens of this country, have been so badly beaten and abused, divided and isolated, that I think we suffer from a kind of collective post-traumatic stress disorder. What makes us all feel so crazy is that the flashbacks, so-called, aren't just in our minds. They are variations of the same incidents happening over and over again. The only psychological defense against the insane situation is to split our perception of reality, assigning the visible insanity, like the Bush crime family or Blackwater, or the continued funding of the horror of Iraq, the coming horror in Iran, assign that to one part of reality and our everyday lives to another. Unfortunately, unless we truly are clinically psychotic, our psyches keep bridges between the separate realities intact. This allows the stench of these spawn of hell creatures to get under our skin and affect us all. We not only need to get this criminal organization out of office, we as a country will need therapy for a long, long time. And then there's the herd of deer that lives on our land and walks across the front yard in the dusk, gorgeous and full of himself, 3-point buck, 2 does, 2 fawns. The fawns romp like puppies. The does stand on their hind legs to reach for apples, and the buck keeps a watchful eye on his harem. The rain blows against the window, and the kitchen windows are steamed up from our cooking dinner. And I remember that there is goodness of heart, kindness, and relationships based on respect in my life. I think we can find our way back. I think we can.
Liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. Kevin wants me to know that I said universal code of military justice instead of uniform code of military justice. My bad, Kevin. I usually get it right. Just focused on the horror of what's going on. I'm aware that it is uniform code, but thanks for the correction. Oh, God. The Blackwater thing just doesn't stop, does it? It's only now starting to get attention and scrutiny and oversight. Think of what Blackwater has done prior to the Democrats taking over the House and or the Senate, where these kinds of hearings can be called by people like Henry Waxman. And as far as that report the murder, the wanton, unwarranted, premeditated murder of anywhere between 11 and 20 Iraqis, as the U.S. military command said at the beginning of this war, we don't do body counts. What that means is we don't care. It doesn't make any difference to us. That's collateral damage. Children, old ladies, young men, women, we don't care. Kill them all. Let God sort them out. You know, again, Colonel Kurtz. So who knows how many were killed, but the report that was required as a result of that slaughter, a State Department, was, oh, God, we got another report on Blackwater. Oh, Jesus, here, let's give it to a Blackwater employee, which is what we did. A Blackwater contractor named Darren Hanner drafted this two-page so-called spot report, and it was done on the letterhead of the Bureau of Diplomatic Security for the U.S. Embassy's Tactical Operations Center, if you want all that information. Now, that's the office that tracks and monitors all incidents and movements involving diplomatic security missions. It has been outsourced. The Tactical Operations Center has been outsourced to Blackwater and another private firm. So, it just stands to reason that a Blackwater contractor would write the report. A highly placed industry source said that Darren Hanner, the person who wrote this report, was listed as the TOC watch officer and was working for Blackwater at the time the report was written, just after the September 16th incident occurred. He was to rotate out of Iraq this past week, so he's gone. The man who approved the report was Ricardo Colon, whom the U.S. Embassy source identified as the embassy's deputy regional security officer. You see the connections here? A State Department source confirmed a Ricardo Colon Cifredo works for the State Department in Iraq. They're like cockroaches. They're like termites, these Blackwater people, that have infiltrated. They're like Kellogg Brown and Root. They're like DynCorp. They're like all these contractors that have infiltrated, pushed aside the United States Marine Corps, because the United States Marine Corps has been ordered to stand aside for these people. I'm sure that there are Marines in Iraq and regular Army who would love to, maybe that's the wrong word, but who would appreciate maybe a firefight with a platoon-sized group of Blackwater. Just for the hell of it, I guess, because everybody over there knows that these private security forces are being paid 6, 7, 8 times as much as our soldiers and Marines. And they do not operate by the Uniform Code of Military Justice. The soldiers and the Marines know that. They know that these guys are operating so far outside of military law, domestic law, international law. Nothing applies to them. Nothing. And the soldiers and Marines who have been sent over there to kill or be killed by George W. Bush are subject to, they're subject to courts-martial, they're subject to being dishonorably discharged or generally discharged. They're subject to all sorts of penalties. Now, a lot of people say, well, come on, Malloy, nobody is paying the price that has to be paid for the crimes that have been committed as a direct result of Bush's war. Nobody. No military officer or junior officer. Yeah, a few people, enlisted people, a few grunts have gone to prison for outright atrocities and violations of law somewhere. That may be true, but these soldiers and Marines conduct themselves within the confines as best they can. And I'm not defending or attacking here. I'm just trying to make statements. They operate within the confines of the Uniform Code and the laws put out there. Not everything. There are rules of engagement that are not found in the Uniform Code, and that depends on where the fighting is occurring. What country? What the situation is? Is it jungle? Is it urban? Is it this? Is it that? So there's all sorts of restrictions, but not for Blackwater, not for DynCorp, not for these private death squads. They do what they want, and I would be willing to bet that when trained, constricted Marines and soldiers take a break, they talk about these guys. And being mostly young men in the Marine Corps and the Army, I bet a few of them, more than a few of them, have said, you know, I like to see what those private contractors are made out of. Huh? You know that happens. Stay with us. Your phone calls are coming. We may have to put off the pig man and Clarence Thomas until tomorrow night and get some phone calls in here. The number is 800-989-1480. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Seth, a flight instructor dude, has sent me a couple of emails here to the name I couldn't think of, the guy who worked in wet ops, wet operations in Vietnam and was Assistant Secretary of State under, what's his name, is Richard Armitage. And Jake Over Black, who is now a part of Blackwater, was at one time he was in the Africa division of the CIA. You can only imagine what he what he did there, right? And Seth also writes that the Directorate of Operations is now called the National Clandestine Service, another CIA division. So, you know, so many times when I talk about the bad old days of the CIA, when it used to overthrow governments and assassinate world leaders and or national leaders and do all kinds of bad stuff, you know, I don't mean to imply that that was then and this is now. This sort of stuff still goes on. I think the CIA was in its heyday in the 50s and 60s, where they would just, at the drop of a Cold War threat, they would go halfway around the world and murder somebody, whether it was Patrice Lumumba or Diem in South Vietnam. It didn't make any difference, you know, if they are in the way, where it concerns the Cold War, the expansion of communism, the expansion of capitalism. If they're in the way, kill them. Or invade their country, or destabilize their government, tamper with their monetary system, cause their people to rise up in rebellion. Now, ostensibly, the Church Committee in the 70s kind of exposed some of that, at least where it concerned the invasion of privacy in this country and the violation of the Constitution by the CIA and the DIA and all these clandestine operations that were being used against the American people. Why? Well, I don't know why. You tell me. Were we that afraid of the commies? I mean, what was going on? I don't know. There was the Black Panthers. There was the anti-war movement in the late 60s, early 70s. All these organizations, the National Council of Churches was infiltrated. You pick an organization that was advocating against U.S. imperialism or for peace or whatever, and you will find that it was infiltrated with CIA operatives, Black Panthers, National Student Association, Students for Democratic Society. It doesn't make any difference. It was all infiltrated. So the bad old days are not the bad old days. They're here now. I question if the 70s and 80s
after the church committee's findings, if any of it stopped, if it ever stopped, or if it just went, okay, we're stopping, it just continued. But now it's gotten so vicious because there is a religious element added into this. It's been my sense from whatever reading and research I do about this garbage is that, and this is strictly my sense, that so many of these people are Christian religious fanatics. They are dominionists. They are Armageddonists. They truly, truly believe that enough death will bring about the return of their Savior. And in the interim, they all are hoping for a rapture to send them all up to heaven so the rest of us can wallow around in our own spit and saliva and excrement while they are blessed by the angels in heaven. I don't know. It's sick. It is just sick stuff. It is so violently sick. These people do believe they are Christian soldiers, just like the old church anthem says. That's the scary part. I don't think that CIA operatives in the 50s and 60s and 70s were doing it for Jesus. I honestly believe that some of these freaks now are doing it for Jesus, this perverted, bloody Christ that they have in mind. Not the iconic Son of God that progressive or liberal or Christians who honestly are seeking a peaceful solution to this madness accept. Not that Jesus. But the one who's insane. The one who wants mega death. The one who wants piles of bodies. The one that wants to see every Jew executed because they didn't accept him the first time. That Jesus. The pervert, the one these right-wingers have created, the one that would say, no stem cell research, I want you all to die and suffer because suffering is what I had to do. Nah. It's crazy. I don't want to spend any time. If you want to mention it on one of your phone calls, that's fine. But the Democrats have introduced a resolution in the House to condemn the pig man. Not that I think that's a bad idea. I think it's a great idea. The pig man has done more damage to the society as a commentator than anybody since Father Coughlin. Back in the day, of course, this is before all of us were born, I'm sure, but back in the day when this rabid Catholic priest, this Nazi sympathizer back in the 30s, who was on the NBC Blue Network, I guess, they had a red network and a blue network, he was on one of the networks, and what it amounted to a talk show, propaganda show, I think it was on an hour a week, or maybe it was daily, I have no idea, but Father Coughlin was an anti-Semite, I mean truly an anti-Semite. A Jew hater, because the Jews had butchered Christ, and on and on and on. And after enough protest, NBC took him off the air. This is back in the 30s. So I've read. And I've heard some of the old audio tapes from his programs. Oh, my God. It sounds exactly like Limbaugh. Exactly. Only with different targets. With Coughlin, it was the Jews. With Limbaugh, it's the liberals. Same thing, same statement, same vitriol, same rabble-rousing, exactly the same. But anyway, Limbaugh's statement about phony soldiers, which is astonishing to me that Premier Radio Networks that syndicate him, I believe it's Premier, or Clear Channel, whose stations carry him, that they haven't gotten together and said, okay, that's it. I mean, isn't it Clear Channel that puts together these support the troops rallies? Isn't that cowardly little pissant Sean Hannity always sucking around Oliver North and they collect money that, you know, God knows where it goes? Aren't those pro-war? I guess not so much now, but a couple of years ago, all those pro-war concerts with all the the freedom concerts, whatever they were called, you know, that asked for more war, more death, more destruction. Sponsored by Clear Channel, I think. I don't know if Clear Channel sponsored or not. That's the impression I got. But Clear Channel distributes, or not distributes, Clear Channel has the pig man on so many of the stations. Now, of course, Clear Channel, like Blackwater, is owned, I believe, or maybe they've just sold it, but it was owned by one of the Bush pioneers out of Texas. Huh? These are pretty. And I admit, yeah, Clear Channel, some Clear Channel stations carry this program. So what? It doesn't exempt them from criticism. Where it concerns Limbaugh. Limbaugh is a force for negativity, destruction, death, murder, mayhem, chaos. He's a drug addict. He's just a horrible example of how celebrity can make you insane. Plus the fact he's a liar. So the Democrat Senate introduced a resolution condemning what he said, and wouldn't you know it, the Republicans turn around and introduce a resolution saying what a great man Rush Limbaugh is. Maybe the least that could happen would be the Defense Department would take this son of a bitch off of Armed Forces Radio. What do you think, huh? Yeah, that'll happen.
Tough and ask, this is big as Missouri.
Yes!
This bastard is sick, he's a fat mom this big, and his ass is as big as the story.
Yes, Kirby Bob! Manipulating statements, exaggerating the truth. I can't believe they hate my show. Inspires. It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm dumb. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a next.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Let's go to your phone calls. Kevin is calling from Washington, D.C., listening on the Internet. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Mike. What I want to ask, the American public through you, basically, is what are they willing to sacrifice in order to end this war?
Mm.
And the reality is, I think, the Democratic-controlled Congress is only partially responsible for it. I even more so kind of blame the people. And the thing is, people in states like Virginia, Florida, Colorado, Arizona, and those are states that can swing either way, Democrat or Republican, have huge defense contractor presence.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any senator is going to go back to his constituency and vote against the war from any of these states and have to explain to them why, Raytheon or any one of those pulled out of their state, because that's what a lot of these senators are up against.
Right.
Unless John Q. taxpayer saying, okay, I hate this war so much, and yes, I am willing to lose my defense contract. And those who do work for those companies who do do it.
Yeah, see, that won't happen. This is precisely what Eisenhower tried to warn us against when he left the presidency. States compete with each other for factories or industrial centers that produce weapons or anything for the Defense Department. And the other industry that they compete for are prisons.
Exactly. So, and the thing is, like me personally, I have made sacrifices for this war, meaning I will not, I work in IT. I will not accept any contract that's linked to a defense contractor whatsoever, mm-hmm. including GE.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to do it, and that has probably hindered my career. But you know what? If it means me making less money to prevent my hands from getting bloodied in this, then so be it.
I hear you, Kevin. Yeah, I hear you. Listen, I respect your position. I think that's it's a righteous stand. Thanks, Kevin. Take care. Robin is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Mike. Good evening, sir.
Hi.
Hey. Here a while back, I recall hearing George Bush and actually seeing him on a video state that Christ changed his heart, And I thought to myself, you lying bastard. You lying bastard. Christ said, he said that if you were a follower of him, that you would keep his commandments. And if you didn't, that you were a liar. And the truth is not in you. Christ said to pray for your enemies, to love your enemies, and to bless those who curse you. You know something? If the light that be in you be darkness, oh, how great is that darkness. Another thing I'm so angry and pissed about is that we're not hearing from every hamlet, from every small village, from every big city, that the preachers are pounding the pulpits with a fist and denouncing this so-called Christian leader that we have and exposing him for exactly who he is. He is working for Satan. The Bible said that he has been taken captive to do his will. If anybody knows the Bible, they'll know exactly what we're dealing with today, brother.
Amen.
I love you, and thank you for who you are and where you're at and what you're doing.
Preach, Robin.
God bless you, brother. I'm going to let you go.
All right. Appreciate what you had to say. Preach. You almost had me going amen. See, that can be triggered in me, because I spend an awful lot of time in Baptist church and also a lot of time hanging out in churches in the South. Robin almost had me doing my amen. I can do that amen. Kathy will tell you, I can put my hands up in the air and start rocking and rolling. I don't know how sincere it is, but it's not sincere. Well, it is kind of sincere. I'm not doing an amen to some hairy thunderer or cosmic muffin. I'm doing my amen to the creativity and the artistry of the person preaching. I appreciate a good preacher. I don't care if it's somebody on this radio program or somebody in the pulpit of a church. I appreciate a good preacher. I cannot handle preachers who stand up on Sunday morning and give these dull, kind of dry, esoteric, intellectual approaches to faith and belief. Faith and belief it's got to come from your gut, from your bowels, from your center. It's just got to erupt. Can't come from your head. So when I hear a good preacher, I get inspired. I really do. It makes me think, are you sure you got this atheist thing right? Wouldn't it be more fun to be able to go and, you know, just get down and funky and stick your hand in that bag of snakes and pull one up and say, praise Jesus. Just kidding. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. It's just so real spotless. Is it clean as the snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I am washed. Yes, I'm washed. I'm washed in the blood. I'm all washed. I'm all clean, I'm all spotless, I'm all pure like the snow, I'm all washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Well, indirectly. 26 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Let me see here. Alex is calling from Scottsdale, Arizona, listening on KPHX. Hey, Alex.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Oh, hanging in there. I caught a sermon over the weekend that kind of went with your friend there just a little bit earlier. It was talking about Peter was the only one that had the stones to get out of the boat and trust Jesus. It had me, you know, kind of rose up and put my hand in the air and say, yeah, forgive me for all my sins, you know, all this stuff we're going through and watching all this stuff going on.
Right.
And it kind of frustrates the living snot out of you.
Yeah, it does indeed.
But the reason I was calling was like, I was catching up on some information over the past week that between 1964 and 1973, they spent $518 billion on the Vietnam War.
Uh-huh.
And estimates now, if he gets the next 190, he'll bring it up to six, and then there's also some infrastructure stuff that's getting paid on the side of Vietnam. Well, that should probably amount up to another $200 billion.
Isn't it?
That brings us to about $800 billion. Now, if you look at $64 to $73, isn't that more in like the 10 to 120 trillion?
It's astonishing. And you know where that money is going? It certainly isn't going for the electrical system, the electrical grid system in Iraq. It's not going for water and sewage pipes. It's not going for bridge and dam construction. It's not going for schools. It's not going for the military because they don't have one. It's not going for the civil service because they don't have one. It's not going for their post office because it doesn't exist, or their system of libraries, public parks, or swimming pools. So where is the money going, Alex?
It's going down the rat hole.
the rat hole
are all those people that profit from this.
At the bottom of the bottom of the rat hole stands a bunch of Republican rats, apparently.
You know, it's look. I get to look at all the kids that have died here locally, and the ones that I've known personally. And this September, when you know Kevin Gillespie's her son Anthony's anniversary came up with the other 10 Coast Guard medics. And you just think about the waste of human life, not including the 2 million in Iranians, or I mean Iraqis, excuse me. But, you know, somebody brought up, well, you know, there are terrorists over there. I said, well, there wasn't terrorists while Saddam was in power. He's Sunni, but he didn't even like Bin Laden because he knew what he did with his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he knew where he was coming from. I mean, terrorists didn't exist until he went over there and, you know, threw a wrench in things.
Yeah, we've done a hell of a job, haven't we, Alex?
And then the guy snivels about he wants to veto $20 billion for children in America so some kids in poverty could have maybe some medical insurance so it couldn't turn into death, cancer, or childhood diabetes. Maybe we could find this stuff before it got bad and more children don't die. I mean, these guys think that, you know, I guess it is everything before birth or before abortion that they count, but after that they don't?
I get that impression. I certainly get that impression.
I mean, getting back to Peter getting out of the boat and having faith, I mean, you think about it, and, you know, where is everybody's faith at?
I think faith has turned into something rusty and clunky and falling apart. What is it that we're to have faith in anymore? I mean, seriously, this country is supposed to be chock-a-block, full of believers. What is it, 85% of American public believe in God, 65% believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell? I mean, it just goes on and on. If that's the case, then these are religious people with no faith, because you see the lack of faith. I read an email earlier tonight from Bridget, the interaction, the coarseness of interactions that have developed between people. Look at the mortgage companies that are just saying screw you to the people that they lured into a web of deceit and deception, and now the people can't make their mortgage payments. I mean, look at any aspect of American society you want to look at. George Bush is a Christian saying, I need more money to kill people than I need to heal children. You know, it's insane. This is not the kind of Christianity that I was fed when I was a child. This is debauchery. This is Satanism. This is I don't know. This is worshiping cockroaches and dead empty skulls. It's astonishing, Alex.
You know, in taking into some of the Nostradamus Coltranes, you know, he is pretty right on there in a lot of places. He even had one that he said an American hero would fall from grace, yet later he'd be freed from bondage. And I talked to some theologians about this, and they said that it was the fact that it was misnaming O.J.'s situation. You know, every time he turns around, they're trying to tax him again.
Yeah, I know. Alex, I got to go. Thanks for checking in.
Keep up the good work.
All right, sir. I appreciate what you had to say. Take care. Linda is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Linda.
Hi. I wanted to mention, oh, my dogs are barking, a couple of things. First of all, let me compliment you. My daughter and I enjoy listening to your colorful figurative language. She just cracks up, and I do too, and it's great. It's great
to
hear us.
Well, thanks,
Linda. Use your phrases, may we?
Absolutely. Just don't forget, every time you use one, you have to send a dollar to my P.O. box.
Okay. Well, right. First of all, I wanted to say something, but I read the entire book, Blackwater, Christine Craft, in fact. Recommend, and I read it carefully. It was a great, it was by Jeremy Scales. Great book, but there's very interesting background in Eric Prince. Anyways, like in his mid to late 30s when he started up Blackwater, and his first wife died of cancer, mm-hmm. has several children, but he has a strict Calvinist background.
Mm-hmm.
However, he converted to Catholicism. And someone else who came over from the Bush administration to work at Blackwater, and I hate to say Coffer Black because I don't think it's him, but it was one of the old-timers, you know, mm-hmm. from way back, also converted to Catholicism, and we happen to be daughters, and I happen to be Catholics, but we couldn't imagine. Why did they convert to Catholicism, and we decided so they could receive absolution for their sins?
That's an interesting
yeah.
point, Linda.
And he also is very friendly with a prominent Catholic radio station out of San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I know which one it is because I listen to them sometimes too, and they're very, very, they're not, like, some of the Jesuits are kind of liberal,
mm-hmm.
but these guys are not. And actually some things they said have been rather hurtful to some of the people who call in. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's a talk show too, like everything. But, Eric Prince is an interesting fellow, of course, because he was a SEAL, and then he tried other things, but he couldn't stay away from it, so he joined up with this Marine, older Marine guy who was, an officer, and the Marine planned all the training programs, and they set up this thing like Blackwater. It was the Marine's idea,
mm-hmm.
and then Eric Prince bought him out or something, and then they continued with it, but I thought that was interesting too, because the name Blackwater itself is interesting, and I think that's after the swamp where nearby.
It sounds, Eric Prince's sister is married to the Amway guy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember that now.
So when anybody has an Amway party in their house,
yeah.
is supporting a neo-fascist right-wing Christian psychopath policies.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this country, Amway is chock-a-block, just like Blackwater is, with these American Nazis.
How do you explain the Eric Prince becoming a Catholic after being a Catholic?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It's about the only. The Protestants believe that if you confess your sins, you.
You don't do it to a man, you do it to God. Yeah,
yeah, if you privately confess your sins and ask for forgiveness, it'll be granted. I mean, that's
yeah.
the whole underpinning
yeah.
of the Christian faith.
Yeah.
But the Catholics take it one step further and say
yes.
you can actually
yes.
hear it if you're conscious.
I
mean, last rites can be given when somebody is not conscious.
Absolution and the sacrament of confession, is mm-hmm. it's a very cleansing and a relieving sort of thing. As I said, I became a Catholic later in my life when I developed multiple sclerosis, and I was just mm-hmm. wandering around doing, and I met some really nice people who happened to be pretty bright, a nice nun who did mm-hmm. delicate things in public relations for the bishop, and she was really nice lady. And But anyway, I wanted to mention that I've heard updates on, Blackwater went into New Orleans. That's the extent
right.
into New Orleans. Okay, they're trying to, I don't know how far it's gone, but they were going to open a training camp in San Diego, near San Diego, in a small town. And the small town people in it and the board of supervisors, the what they call the city board.
City council, city commissioner?
City council.
City council,
trying
uh-huh.
to get rid of it. But because it would have these, big runways where they drive mm-hmm. Humvees and stuff mm-hmm. and fire. And then back in their training camps in back east, they have had three bullets go into the community. And anyway, the people were fighting it. But, our National Guard in California has always been called up. They were first to be called up in Vietnam. They were first to be called up, I think, in Korea, my brother told me, and mm-hmm. they're not any around here. So guess what? We might have, if there is some kind of emergency And Blackwater is in the United States. Who might be our National Guard? As in Louisiana, they were security.
Right.
Wouldn't that be neat, having them tell you what to do?
That's exactly what happened. And, you know, we like to point out, you know, when the right-wingers always talk about how Bill Clinton or the Democrats want to take your guns away, the only time that's ever happened has been when Blackwater was sent in by Cheney or Bush and they took everybody's guns. Think about that for a while.
I'm afraid I can't.
Ten before the hour, thanks to our crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program in Phoenix at KPHX, our flagship station, and who also answered your calls, Billy Foster, our Nova M CIO, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Correction here, Eric Prince's sister, Betsy DeVos, is married to the son of Richard DeVos, the founder, co-founder of Amway. Slight difference there. Well, no, a major difference. Eric Prince's sister is not married to the founder of Amway. She is married to the son of the founder of Amway. But in her own right, she is a powerful Republican in Michigan. She served as the chairperson of the Michigan Republican Party in the 1990s. And also the name Blackwater, Seth lets us know here, the name Blackwater is from the three so-called waters of the Navy. Blue water is given to surface fleet operations, like on the ocean. Brown water is given to river operations, and black water is given to unconventional operations, better known as the SEALs. So Blackwater has a specific usage in the Navy. Blue water, brown water, black water. Thanks, Seth, because I wondered where the name came from. I always thought it came from, like, the swamps. If you've ever spent any time in swamps, and I have in South Georgia and in South Florida and in South Alabama, if you've spent any time in the swamps, you know that the water can be 4 inches deep, but it's black. I guess it's because of what's growing on the bottom. Back to your phone calls. Leonard is calling from Glendale, Arizona, listening on KPHX. Hey, Leonard.
Hi, Mike. It's sure good to hear you. And man, your listeners, they really do motivate and inspire me. The one fellow, the one where you felt like you had to you know, start maybe saying amen.
Amen, yeah.
But one question I wanted to sound, it's ask you. What would you think is more scary, a hanging judge or a spanking judge?
Boy, I'll tell you, this guy over in Alabama, it's always Alabama, isn't it? This guy in Alabama who would pull the male prisoners out of the Mobile jail and take them into a private room behind his chambers and spank them. I don't know. You know, we touched on it in the first hour. How does that happen? I mean, are there armed guards there who are holding tasers on this guy and saying, now, if you don't cooperate, because I can't see an adult male laying across the lap of this judge for spanking, unless there's some kind of force being applied.
In Lawrence of Arabia, you know, the famous scene where Peter O'Toole is being beaten and whipped by the Turkish officer, and
yes,
the two guards are like smiling, you know, like something out of Deliverance. But hey, I'll let you go with this. While I was in Iraq, I met some contractors, you know, I would state that are more of a generic nature where they're staying on the post. I would think that there is a very devious, as you've already pointed out, your listeners, with Blackwater. Even though they're contractors, this Prince fellow, as a SEAL, you really do have to stay registered with the U.S. government for a certain period of time after you get out. I would venture to say, in fact, I believe it is a quasi-paramilitary death squad type of situation. Mm-hmm. And we were actually ordered by some of these contractors to try to tell us what to do on base. We were very resentful. I met others that were very nice, but the Blackwater types. For example, I don't sure if they were Blackwater, but British individuals in a vehicle, you know, got to the point where I thought that it could come to where we might have to pull our weapons because they were telling us that we had to go over and do a search of some Iraqis, and they got very belligerent, and they had their revolvers on their hips.
No, wait, let me get this right. You were in the Army?
Yes, I was a troublemaker. I loved my unit in the Arizona Army National Guard, but I was the first soldier to be busted for having a blog. I had my 5 minutes of
right,
fame.
So,
I pissed off George personally, and I'm proud of it.
So you were in the National Guard. You were essentially in the Army National Guard. You were in Iraq, and private contractors were ordering you, giving you orders?
Oh, yeah. Well, each soldier, if you're lucky, after the death started piling up in my platoon and we were getting hit all of the time, you were thankful to be ordered by contractors. On the post, you go around on menial details. It might be with garbage drivers from Romania that, you know, Bush has made friends with.
Right.
But they would tell us, you do this and you do this. And if the soldier argued back, you were immediately reported your commanding officer and you were dressed down. And if you didn't, shut your big mouth, you could easily find yourself losing rank. So there are good basic contractors. The rest of us were tempted. We know how much money they were making. But the type that you're talking about, I would say, are highly recruited, you know, from the Navy SEALs program, the CIA. These are dangerous people. And if you ever get a chance, I'm finding the book is really strange because it seems so true today. It was written back like in 2000. It's called State of the Union. Of course, they made the movie out of it by David Callahan. And a lot of things in the book seem exactly what are happening right now. But,
wow.
Mike, thank you, and thanks to your listeners and KPX and Nova M Radio. It gives me hope, and you just keep giving them hell, Mike. Thank you.
All right, Leonard, thanks. I'm glad you called in. I didn't know that private contractors could order. I didn't ask Leonard if he was an officer, a non-commissioned officer, or below that rank, but to give orders? Wow. Jeez. Yeah, the time's going to come. Can you say frag? Robert is calling from KLSD in San Diego. Robert, we're almost out of time. As a matter of fact, we got 10 seconds. Robert?
Okay. Yeah.
Robert, all I can do is say, hi, Robert. We're out of time. Call back tomorrow and I'll put you on right away. Sorry. I feel like I've been in hell on the program tonight. And we only had the one major subject. Well, that's the reason. Bizarre. I usually go to bed at night with a thought in my mind. How did this happen? Well, we'll figure it out and we'll change it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, take care. Really, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.